That was good, Sister Morris. That's Barbara Jane to me, but just to me.
You didn't have to tell everybody.
I didn't have to tell everybody. Now, if you enjoy her ministry, come back tonight because Barbara will be singing again. I get her and Sue Ann and Redneckers and our visitors, Gloria, and all of them at home, I want to use them. How many believe we have plenty help right here? Amen. Joy, I'm glad you're here faithfully. I love your music, and I can keep on for everyone that sings. This, girls, that was a beautiful song. Wasn't that good at communion this morning? Praise God. I can tell you, I can pass the test of saying my favorite, world all-time favorite. Now, children's church. Pastor Dave's waiting for all the kids. If you want to go to children's church, go right through those doors, follow Kenny. Kenny, wave at him. And upstairs, and Pastor Dave's waiting for you. He might already have a bunch of you up there. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, Pastor Brad, don't try to condition that grandbaby so much. When they showed the announcements this week and Pastor Brad got up there, I kept hearing this Papa stuff right here off the front row. Nora's here today. Grandbabies, I won't be like that. I'll guarantee you that. We got to see him, Wednesday. Yes. And in typical fashion, Nate's in a service this week in Springfield at a new church. I said, what did my grandbaby, who is he, is she or he? And he said, well, it's a him. And I said, well, what's he like? So medically, he told me. He said, well, it's about the size of a banana, weighs 11 ounces. Okay, that's good enough for me. And doing fine. So Zion Nathaniel is on his way to the earth. He's here. He's on his way to home. I had no idea what Barbara was going to sing, but let me read a note from my notes to you. The year of 2010 is the year of separating prior to the harvest. Now, I want you to listen to me as I talk to you this morning for a little bit and give you some historical background, some information in regard to, you know, every message this month is a message on fasting. And believe me, I could preach 52 weeks on this topic and not outdo it, because anything spiritual that's involved in your or my life, fasting is a facet of that spiritual act. It's part of it. It's always a great foundation for anything you're going to do. Any decision that you make in your life, any direction that you're asking God about, any attack of the enemy, or any conflict or hardship that you have in your life, always begin your approach to God in this way: humbly broken before God, fast before Him, pray and ask God. And that is a sequence of events. It's not a recipe, because you see, you can't do it out of tradition or perfunctorily. You can't just make it an act. You have to do it from your heart. But when you do this from your heart, God will respond to you, and I'm going to show you that in Scripture this morning. But 2010, I told you before 2010 that I believe 2010 is going to be a year of record in historical annals. And when I said that, having no idea that in just a few days into 2010, the greatest earthquake in the history of all mankind that we know, 200,000 dead now, and that 300,000 that are injured, how many of those will die? The estimates every day are going up, and we're looking now at the people buried in the rubble, people that they're digging mass graves for to bury them because of the disease area. Just in one small island that I have been all over, and I've been in every one of those areas that you see. I've driven down every one of those streets and stood on them. I ate lunch at the Montana Motel that you see on there. I've been in that grocery store and bought Haitian coffee in that grocery store that they talk about. All the things that you see on television, the streets and everything, I've personally been there several times, preached to the sweetest people that you've ever met, those Haitian people that are there, pure African nation there. And when you're there preaching those people and you see all the things are going, you're confronted constantly with the voodoo, which Aristotle made the national religion. In fact, they interviewed the head of voodoo, the minister of voodoo for the nation of Haiti yesterday on television, and I saw him speaking. They still recognize him as their state religion. But I'm going to tell you that's soon to change. I'm going to tell you it's soon to change. But here's what I'm telling you, that without notice, without any warning, without any notice, without any predictions, who would have picked Haiti for an earthquake of this dimension to happen with the aftershocks? Now, what you don't understand is that God sends warnings, but those warnings many times are muffled warnings that we don't understand or we don't hear or we don't pay any attention to. Last week in southwest Missouri, one of the greatest faults on the entire earth is called the New Madrid Fault. Last week there was a 3.1 tremor in the New Madrid Fault right here, close enough to us that when the New Madrid Fault hits, it's a different kind of earthquake than other places. This isn't a shelf changing so much, and I had some background in this from some of my prior jobs that I've worked in, but it's not a shelf changing, but it's like taking a long flat tray of pudding about this deep and then just hitting the end of it and watching the ripple effect. And that's how the New Madrid Fault will work when the earthquake does take place and whenever that happens. And I don't know if we'll be here, if the Lord will come. Just like that earthquake came in Haiti and just like the rumblings in the New Madrid Fault last week, 3.1, without warning, these things are taking place on the earth. And God's saying to us, these are the pains, or birthing pains, of what's to come. And we need to pay very close attention. For many years, we have heard so many people get on television and dramatize the end time to the point that we realized that, number one, a lot of it was just about the individual trying to get attention, and then a lot of it, we've heard so much, we've become comfortable with these forecasts and warnings. But I'm going to tell you as a child of God, this year's the year to reset your clock. You hear me? To year to reset your clock spiritually and go back to the point of understanding that 2010 is a year for children of God to understand that this separation is taking place of wheat and chaff. So this is where your games that you're playing spiritually with God have got to come to a halt, or you won't have any control over the conditions that happen in your life. Now, I'm being as straight as I can be, and as closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the straighter I'm going to get. Is that all right with you? For one reason, I don't want someone in this church to stand in the presence of God and say, he knew it and didn't tell me. Why didn't he just... You know, if you knew something horrible was about to happen to you, would you get mad at me, really, if I walked up to you and even just said, hey, you know, just a blatant warning, and you've got to move, or if you don't move, you're going to lose your life, even though you don't see any danger at the instant, and you wouldn't care if I did that in a rude manner or a sweet manner. You wouldn't care as long as I got the message to you, amen? Well, I'm telling you something spiritually, and this is something you need to listen to me, and I'm going to say this with the greatest impact that I can muster in my spirit today. I'm telling you this spiritually. This is a year, this time, right now, the day we're in, not coming. This isn't something you need to do. This is something you should have done and be actively involved in right now. This is the time we're in right now where you need to do soul searching, and you need to ask God, if it's chaff, if it's junk, if it's unnecessary, if it separates me from your presence, or if it causes me to separate myself from your presence in any way, as an individual, don't worry about somebody else. Don't say, well, when Dorma Lee gets her life right, I'll feel better spiritually. It's none of my business what Dorma Lee's doing. It's none of my business what Ron or Jerry's doing or Kenny's doing or Terry's doing. What my business is right now is an individual commitment to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you this, you will not be based, when you stand before God, it will not be based on any one or anything other than your relationship with Jesus. And for that reason, I say this with all of the strength I can muster spiritually in my heart to project to you, this is a time to get before God and to seek His face and to search Him, ask Him to search you. And let me tell you this, you cannot do that in yourself. So I'm telling you something you can't do. Oh, that's how preachers have done for years, and that's what caused us to get discouraged and think, what's the use? I'm telling you that the only way this can occur is when you yield yourself to God and you quit trying to figure it out. And you quit trying to make the Bible say what you want it to say, or you take the part of it that you want to, and honestly believe that there's that the Word of God, we know it applies to everyone, but we don't allow it to apply to our life in every area. This is a time where you better lay down your junk in your life more than ever before. Now, I'm not talking about robbing banks. If you're robbing banks, quit. I'm not talking about some horrible things. I know you'd like to right now, but that's not the thing to do. What I'm talking about doing this are sins of the soul. Now, I spent about 2 hours sitting at a table the other day with Mike Brown and Marvin Gorman, and the three of us were talking about this subject, sins of the soul. And we have decided together as three friends that see each other on a regular basis, not to start some little compact at where we check each other out, because if I've seen it before. I've seen people sit at a table and say, do you have any sins, Brother Matthew, in your life that you want to confess? And they're just dying for you to say something for them to go tell somebody. And so Matt becomes the liar of all liars, you know, because nobody's going to admit. But I'm saying it's time for you before God to get honest in a way you've never gotten honest before. The sins of the soul. Apathy is one of the sins of the soul. Yeah. Believing that we have special dispensation in our life to live in some way that's opposite of the character of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you may sit here and just turn this off and just even get aggravated and think I'm talking about you or something, but I'm not. I'm talking about Sam Conley. I'm talking about wanting. I told Mike this the other day. I said, Mike, there's one thing I want to do. I want to go to heaven. How many wants to go to heaven? Amen. Well, let me tell you something. It's not as easy as you may make it. Now, the easy part is that there's nothing you can do to get there. Jesus paid it all. How many knows that? All to Him I own. But you have no right, or you have no privilege to come against the honor of His sacrifice.
That's right.
You see, let me tell you something that happened many, many, many moons ago, and no one knows the time, but there was a day when an archangel by the name of Lucifer, who is called the Son of the Morning. That is what Lucifer stands for. And there's one other name attached to him. In rabbinical history, in rabbinical training, all the rabbis understand this, that when you say the name Lucifer, you're saying this, the Son of the Morning and Honor. And this was Lucifer's job, that on a regular occurrence, there wasn't day or night in heaven. We would say it as days, just understanding time the way we do, so I'll use that. But on a regular basis, every day, it was Lucifer's job to bring the host of heaven together to give honor to the Almighty God in worship. He was one of the three archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And Lucifer stood, and he was the Son of the Morning of honor, came before God, and he led the praise of honor to the Almighty God. But one day, he started wanting some of that honor. And he touched the honor of God, and when he touched the honor of God, instantly, he was damned for eternity when he touched the army of God. None of us, you or I or anyone, has the right or the privilege or the ability to touch the honor of God. And I'm talking about His Word. I'm talking about applying this Word to you. If you've got some little habit or some little burr under your saddle or something that you don't like, you're not going to like my preaching in the next few months, because I'm going to preach in a way that will give you the understanding and the ability to remove it so you can stand before God and be accepted and enter heaven. And for you or I to believe that we can hold on to chaff in our life of any form and stand before God. You have heard a gospel, as Paul said, other than the gospel I preach, because it's absolutely impossible. We have come to a time where it's past serious business now. This is a time that we die to ourselves and lay ourselves down in use for the kingdom of God. Some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, I'm a member here and I don't have, I'm not singing in the choir and I couldn't, you wouldn't want me to if you heard me sing. I'm not doing it, but I'm paying tithe and I'm giving offerings and I'm doing this. But other than that, don't belittle your activity in this church. Don't belittle your activity as a child of God. But I'm going to tell you how to grow your influence in a way that's going to affect people around you. I watched a documentary yesterday that was 50 minutes long, and I thought it should have been longer. Ruth said, I don't think I could have watched any longer, from a good friend of ours who's one of Nate's partners in Nairobi that went to Rwanda, and he has a thing called a group of 20 in their language, in Rwandan language, and they bring 20 people together, 10 survivors and 10 perpetrators of the greatest 30-day blood feast in history. 30 days, 800,000 Rwandans were slaughtered by the Tutsi and the Hutus when they came together in this civil war, and they got even over centuries and years of bad blood between them, and it was a horrible, horrible situation. And I listened as I listened to Patrick as he put together this video that could have been as quality of National Geographic or anything. Watched him as they brought these people together, Christians brought them together in a round room, and I listened to the stories of young Tutsis talk about how one young man, how his name was Joseph, how he said, I hid and I saw them hack my mother and father to death. My mother, in fact, was holding on to me and she lost her grip and they were sitting in a circle. Some that had done it right across from them. No one knew who was until they started to talk. And he said, I watched them hack my little brother and my little sister and my mother and my father and then my older brother and older sister. And he said, I was the only one left and I survived with wounds. And then he talked about it and he said, I miss my father. I miss having someone to lay my head on their shoulder and cry tears. I have no one else on this earth. And there are times when I wonder if life is worth living anymore. I listened to a lady called Mama Alina. As Mama Alina stood and she said, I was hiding and they found me and they started to drag me out and I began to scream and my husband ran out to save me and rescue me and they caught him and they hacked him to death. And of course they raped her time and time again. And she said, I sat here today knowing if I had kept my mouth shut, I wouldn't have caused him to come out. Or why didn't I follow him when they took him, when the Khmer Rouge took him to destroy him and kill him? Why didn't I die with him? 14 years now, my life has been filled with loneliness. And I listened to the result of sin in a nation that turned their back on God until God brought a revival of a change. And now that country is so safe, you can walk down the streets at night. Nate's been there and seen it. But I listen to these things and I hear them going on around the world, and we sit in America and believe it'll never happen. You're foolish. You're foolish. You sit in America and believe that it'll never happen. We have stores full of food. You're foolish to believe it. In a moment, one young lady said it. The plane crashed with our president and another president of Buganda, ever how you say it, little villain nation next to them. And the next morning, civil war started, and my uncle was coming to tell us, but he was hacked down in the field. I listened to these people that I know that put it together and saw firsthand, and I thought, God, in America, we're sitting fat and happy thinking that all the world is going to suffer and we have some cloak of protection. Listen to me this morning as a prophet. Listen to me this morning as a word of God. America is facing the destroyer. Yes, sir. We have turned our back on God. We who have had the greatest opportunity to fall prostrate before God and to worship and praise Him have done everything in our power to turn our back on God. And the church has agreed with this thing called tolerance to keep our mouth shut and not to be involved, so that we wouldn't look at not being a team player so we could lead people to Jesus. This is the very reason the church is anemic today, that we've tried to lead instead of the Holy Ghost leading. The Holy Spirit of God is the drawer. And this is what I tell you, that God's Holy Spirit will not draw through a vessel who has chaff instead of wheat and grain in their life. You wonder why God isn't using you. There's one reason why God isn't using you. We haven't fallen broken before God, before His face, and removed the junk out of our life and opened it up to God to say, God, here I am. Now, when I walk into a grocery store, when I walk into another store, a filling station, or a meeting, that when I see someone hurting, that I'm not covered with the callous chaff that protects the wheat from the environment around. That chaff keeps me from seeing the hurt of other people. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to take their responsibility on. And I just walk by when someone's hurting. God, this year I'm praying for this man, not your pastor. As a Christian, as a man that'll stand before God, I'm praying this year, God, help me that the chaff is so gone that the sensitivity of the Holy Ghost will tell me, speak to that one. And I'm telling you, they're there ready to be harvest, because He said in the last days the harvest was white unto harvest. That means it's ready just for the taking. You say, I'm too consumed with my own problems. I'm too consumed with my own relationships. I'm too consumed with what's going on around me. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's the chaff that's going to separate you from the very presence of God when the call comes. And we have lamps that don't have oil. Listen to the message this morning. By example, turn with me this morning to Jonah. The book of Jonah says this in chapter 1 and 2. Jonah was thrown into the ocean because of his lack of obedience. You see, God told Jonah to go. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And He told him to go where he didn't want to go. Now listen to me. This is one thing I want you to stop looking in your Bible and look at me right now in the eyes and listen to me. If you don't go where God wants you to go, if you're listening, say amen. If you don't go where God wants you to go in your daily walk with Him, you're going to find yourself in a horrible situation, separated from God. Now listen why I'm telling you that. You can keep all of your little things in your life that you want to. You can get mad at me. You can say that I'm meddling, or what, you can say anything you want to, but there's one thing you won't do. You will not pass the scrutiny of God when you stand in judgment against Him, and He'll say to you, He told you the truth. He wasn't mad at you, He loved you. He wasn't trying to hurt you, He loved you. He wasn't trying to meddle, He loved you. He was doing what I told Him to. I'm doing what God told me to do in this church as your shepherd. This church will never grow numerically, financially, and spiritually under my leadership outside of a move of God. I don't want just a functional, successful church like the world sees it. I want one the Holy Ghost moves in. Because without the Holy Ghost moving in it, this church is a waste of time. It's nothing more than a club or a clique or a group, and those will fall apart inside, not outside. I want the Holy Ghost to lead us. How many say amen to that? Amen. Here's what happened. Jonah went where God told him not to go. He didn't go where he told him to. And God changed it around, and in his mercy, not God's hatred for Jonah, listen, in God's mercy, he prepared, the Bible says God prepared a fish for him. It didn't say this is what he got for not doing right. So God prepared. God prepared a great fish. And when he didn't go to Nineveh like he's going to, and he started going to Tarsus there, that big storm happened and he was thrown overboard. The ship the sea became calm. The ship was, the presence of evil was gone. Instantly those men realized it was God. They vowed before God and made promises that they would serve God. And God prepared a fish for Jonah. He put him in the fish. Now, I'm going to tell you, there was nothing pleasant about that fish. Nothing at all. Other than the fact that this, just when he needed enough air to survive, he was able to get it. Other than that, it was the most horrible circumstance you can imagine. 3 days and three nights. Literally, not figuratively, literally, in the belly of a whale, a fish. On the third day, we understand that God caused this fish to expel him. But during that three-day period was a forced fast. How many's ever had a forced fast here? I have. You ever had situations in your life where you couldn't eat or you couldn't poke food down you because of the situation was so bad or around you? 3 days. Finally, at the end of that 3 days, he got the heart of God. He got the mind of God in this forced fast. There's different kinds of fast. You see, let me tell you something, and I want you to listen to me. This is what we don't want to do. I can wait until the destruction of the destroyer comes to America and hits this part of the country, and we're just lucky to get here. And I can announce a fast, and you'll all comply. Jump right on the wagon. But see, that's the kind of chaff that God's going to blow away. Because many of you in this church this morning, can I be as straight as I'm going to? Many of you in this church this morning have taken this fast seriously, and some of you have taken it as I just don't want anybody on my back wondering if I'm not being part of the group. You're wasting your time. Amen. And this isn't a day where you can afford to. You've got another week left on this fast, and this last week, when you get before God and you say, God, this isn't a matter of me feeling the doodads on my back when he preaches or anything like this. This is a time of commitment. Like I've never had, because I believe if I'm not committed now, when the destruction comes, I'm not going to have a time to get it. He had a forced fast. That forced fast in his life was a situation where he had, in disobedience, walked away from God, and God's mercy brought him back. In the belly of the whale, he made commitments to God. He said things to God that he should have said before. He said this in chapter 2, verse 4. He said, this is what Jonah said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threaten me. This is chapter 2 of Jonah, verse 4 and reading. The engulfing waters threaten me. The deep surround me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. He thought, like we will think, this is it, this is no change. But you brought my life up from the pit. If that's been you in your life, say amen. He said, O Lord my God, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. You see, this fast caused him to come back to his foundation in his relationship with Jesus. Everyone that heard that, say amen. Listen to me. Stay very alert this morning. This is one of the most important messages I'll ever preach to you as a church. Listen, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to the holy temple. Those who clung to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Listen to that. Anything that you hold on to outside of the Word of God, the Bible says right here, is worthless idolatry. And you're not going to have anything there. They forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving and sacrifice to you, what I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Here's what he's saying. I'm going back to my original walk with you. I'm going back to the point where I say, Jesus, it's you are nothing. Everyone listen to that. Don't anyone miss that. Everything in my life, Jesus, is you are nothing. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what goes on around me. As an individual, I'm going to serve you and not become entangled with everything else, but I'm going to serve you with everything in my heart. If you believe that's God's word, say amen. Amen. Listen to me. This is the only thing that will protect you as an individual. Listen, it's the only thing that will protect you as an individual from keeping chaff in your life. It'll separate the chaff if you listen to what I'm saying, and you'll be grain for the master's use. The Bible says that when he made good this vow, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah into dry land. Chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Whoa. Listen to me, what happens in a fast. If you do a fast from your heart and you say, God, I haven't done a very good job so far this month, but I've got by enough to where if the pastor asks me, if somebody brings it up, oh, I can join in. But I'm talking about a fast from my heart, where when I fast, I'm just not saying, whew, I got that over with during the day, but I take time during that time that I fast and I come to God and I say, Lord, this is the meal. This is the thing I'm fasting. Listen to me. I'm going to be a little critical, I guess, to some people this morning. But don't get too creative in your fast to where it's not sacrifice. Well, what do you mean, sacrifice? I'm talking about fast has to be a sacrifice, a recognizable sacrifice in your life. When you're going through the line at the Heritage, I love the Heritage Cafeteria in Springfield. You're going through the line, and there's a big piece of chocolate pie there. I wish you hadn't put that in my mind, Francis. And you go, and you say this, well, I'm trying to lose weight, and so I'm going to sacrifice, and I'm not going to eat. That's not sacrifice. That's just a choice. That's all that is. So don't confuse sacrifice and choice in your life. This is going to be more of an instructional morning than anything, but it's going to be instruction that will change your walk with God if you'll listen to me. Don't confuse choices with sacrifice. Sacrifice really cost you something, cost you a lot. David one day was sitting in battlement, ready to go against the Philistines, and he said, oh, for a drink from the water, from the well of Jerusalem. And two of his men went and sacrificed the possibility of their life to get water. They went into the enemy encampment and got that drink and brought it back to him. And instead of drinking it, do you know what he did? Thirsty for the water that was his land, his promise, he poured it out before God and sacrificed it. That was a sacrifice. When God spoke to Abraham and he said to Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. And he laid Isaac before him, ready to slit his throat in the sacrificial manner. That was sacrifice. That wasn't a choice. That was way past choice. That was a sacrifice. And if you want God to speak to you for the remainder of this month in this fast we're in, and for those of you who have chosen to join me in this 52-week, now if you haven't signed up and you want to sign up for 1 week during the year of 2010 to be contacted by Zelle to fast that week. We have over 100, almost 150 people signed up. We'll have two or three a week. But if you want to be part of that, you can still sign up. But sacrifice is when you do something that's so significant in your life, there's a huge absence of that in your life. That is fasting before God. And these people, and when Jonah came to these people and he spoke the words he did, even in his forced fast, God put his word in him. If you want a word of God in you, do you understand? Listen to me. Do you understand? I cannot tell you how vital it is that you're able to hear from God this year. If you rely on somebody else for the news spiritually or someone else tell you, I can't tell you how important it is this year for you to experience the anointing of God in your life. Now let me tell you something. When you walk into this place and you hear anointed singing and the choir was singing, you all stood up, some of you. Some of you can't, don't feel like it. Your body don't let you, but in your spirit you stood up. And some of you stood up and started worshiping and praising God. How many felt that anointing? I felt it. If you felt the anointing, say amen. Amen. How many have been in this room and felt the anointing during a service? Say amen. Amen. You see, that's not having the anointing, that's just feeling it. Because a sinner can walk in that back door and feel the same thing you do. Because it's the anointing of God and it's unmistakable. Amen. And they'll feel the same thing you feel, but they don't have it. Good word. To have it, you've got to sacrifice, and don't you let anyone tell you you don't. You've got to go beyond you and go where you won't go and do what you won't do and be what you won't be. To have it, you've got to lay yourself down and pick up the cross of Jesus Christ, who was insulted and hurled and crucified for you. He said, Paul said this, I die daily. He said, I do the same thing in my daily walk because I want the anointing in me. How many wants it in you? Amen. You can have it, but it's going to take this. It's going to take sacrifice in your life. And in this year, you can go through the year listening to the 6 o'clock news and getting that information if you want to. You can even read books and listen to my CDs after the church and take them home and study them and listen to all that you want to. But you're not going to have it in you until you have change in your life. And if there's ever a year when you need to hear what God's saying to you, because this quick, that quick, there's a grid across America of electric power that in that quick can kick off, and your computers and your radios and your televisions that are all interconnected now by government policy, which gives you the ability to access your banks, your credit cards, and everything that quick can stop. And you better be able to hear from God then. Because if you're not hearing from God, then you're going to be one of the lines that stand waiting for the pow, the mark of the beast. And you'll think, I never thought this. But here's what you'll do. You'll believe that tolerance is going along with, and your spiritual mind will be so dull because you refused, out of stubbornness, you refused to remove chaff out of your life. You refused to see it as chaff. You refused to believe that the laws of God completely are to you, and you have to be compliant to those. So you've hung on to some stuff, and you've even got mad about it, and you've done everything, but you won, but you lost. Listen to me. I'm preaching to me today. I'm not preaching to you. I'm telling you how I intend to live my life. And I have no responsibility other than delivering this word to you for your life. That's your responsibility. 100%, not one soul will be able to point their finger at Sam Conley and saying, he's the reason I'm not. No, sir. Not if I do my life right. And so my responsibility is to me. That's what Jonah found, and Jonah's responsibility was to God, and he did it. And the word of God says that when he did, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. How many needs a second chance in here? Everybody does. You see, this chance, this day is different. He said, now for the second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to the proclaim the message that I give you. You see, he heard from God now. So Jonah went to Nineveh, and now Nineveh was a great city. It's 60 miles around Nineveh and the surrounding villages at that time. It took 3 days to walk across it. It was massive. He said, go there and I want you to do this. I just want you to start saying what I'm telling you. Listen to me. Your effect, when you're in a place that Jonah got to, your effect is not your effect, it's the Holy Ghost's effect. That when you speak, your word is magnified and multiplied. Through the supernatural of God when you just speak. So the word of God says that he, on the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will overturn. My friends, listen to me, in America this year, 40 days, the 40 days that are coming here, I have heard more negative, horrible forecast for our economy and for the finances of America than I've ever heard in my life. But I've been told by the Holy Ghost it's one of the greatest days for Christians. But I'm going to tell you how you're going to know. And this is hard, but listen to me. You're going to know if chaff is on your life or not, but it's going to be too late. Now is the time. I'm telling you, God is giving you and giving me the season. In the beginning of things are coming. The season of time. If you hear me, say amen right now. I want everybody listening to me. God's giving you right now the opportunity to change some things in your life for the 40 days that's coming. That quick Haiti. Other things that are happening around the world don't measure to it, but they're happening. We're not even hearing reporting. On that day, Jonah started into the city, and he proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. And the Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. Listen to this. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When I said this, the Lord spoke to me and said, one of the great attributes of a fast is this. Everybody listen close. An attribute of the fast, it puts us all on level ground. Every one of us. It stops this baloney of Christian celebrities and hierarchies. This is trash. This is chaff in the heart of God. And for you or I to cling on to someone as greatness like the world knows it, anything that transposes the world into the spiritual realm and looks to be the same is sin in the eyes of God. We have no connection. And if I project myself or you project yourself or you become a groupie or a follower of some great Christian personality, this is the time to quit it now. Because fasting puts us on a level equal with everyone. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. See, he said from the greatest to the very least, they put on sackcloth and ashes and they began to fast before God. And when they did, they didn't even ask the king. They just did it because the word of God through this one man was so powerful that somebody didn't go to somebody else. Merle, you didn't run over and ask Sue Ann. Are you going to fast? Well, if you're going to fast, I'm going. Are you going to fast as much as Ron? Joy, you didn't ask Ray Ray, how are you going to do it? You didn't care how she did it or you did it or how Marva did it or Myra did it. You were going to do it because you said, I'm going to take this seriously. See, that's when I know we're getting somewhere. When you're not interested in what somebody else is doing, you're only concerned how you're doing with God. And he said 40 days and the destroyer. He didn't say rough times. He said the destroyer. Listen to me. America has turned its back on God, but the church is alive and well. The church has got its greatest opportunity to be a witness and to snatch out of the fire those that are on their way to eternal destruction if we remove the chaff and we're before God where he can use us. Word of God says they put on sackcloth, and when the news reached the king, he was the last one to know. He rose from his throne. He took off his robes, put on sackcloth, this black, dusty-looking, coarse woven cloth that no one could make clothes out of, and he put it on him, and he laid down face first in the dirt. He humbled himself. Humility is not weakness, it's strength with God. Yes. Forgiveness is not weakness, it's strength with God. Mercy, compassion is not weakness, it's strength with God. He laid down. He sat down in the dust. Then he issued this proclamation. And he said, I don't care who you are, whatever you are. We're going to fast for these 3 days and no one is going to eat. Not even the animals. Don't feed nothing. This is a holy fast. And then he said this, listen, in verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring the destruction. You see, fasting changes the mind of God. Let me read some things. I'm going to continue this. This is one segment of this message this morning, but it's time for me to quit preaching. Now I'm going to read some stuff, and I want you to listen to me. Tonight I'm going to continue this, and I'm going to ask you. I'm done begging, folks. You can't pry chaff off somebody. They got to take it off. I'm just going to ask you. I'm going to put it out. You say, well, it'll be inconvenient for me to come tonight. Might be. It is for me too. I live in Springfield, Missouri. It's inconvenient to drive down here every day, but I wouldn't drive any place else in the world. I love it. Well, I was going to watch. Go ahead. And when the TV goes off and there's no more TV and your addiction is so great you don't know what to do with yourself, you'd rather have Jesus. You'd rather have your oil lamp filled with him than the idiotic television full of sarcasm and blasphemy. It's been nice being your pastor. He said, God saw what happened, and God's heart was changed. Now I'm going to stop there. Listen to this. I'm going to read this. Gail, where are you at? Listen to this. Fasting, if you did, don't, this isn't the time to check out or anything. Stay very alert and listen to me right now. And if you can't, get the CD. Dale, make some extra ones this morning. This word is more vital to you than any great celebratory message or faith message I've ever preached. This is one that if we don't get foundationally, we won't stand this year. I don't care who you are. I don't care who I am spiritually. I have to get it right before God, not my book. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Fasting restores honor for God in your life. This is what the Holy Spirit gives me. I don't write this usually until someplace between 10 and 2 or 3 in the morning on Saturday night. I study all week. I write notes all week, and that's when I compile what he gives me. And I'm doing it listening, usually to some kind of Christian music, something. The Holy Ghost speaks to me, and my heart begins to break. Sometimes I shout. Sometimes I cry. Sometimes I grieve and I mourn. Sometimes I have expectation, and sometimes I have burdens. But this is what the Holy Spirit gave me for you. Fasting restores honor for God in your life. Honor that Satan touched. When honor is restored, we who are so limited in our ability, and in quotations, the effect or draw the attention of the Almighty God. You see, you don't have any ability to draw the attention of God. You can jump up and down and scream. There's one thing that draws the attention of God in your life, and that's holiness in your life. I'm going to start all over. Fasting restores honor for God in your life. And when honor is restored, we who are so limited in our ability create an atmosphere that recreates the original relationship between God and man. How pure. In regard to you, fasting in humility and brokenness on your face before God will change your life. That's the title of the message, fasting. There will be a change in my life. This is one of those declarations that if proceeded in the correct spiritual attitude and in the right spiritual position will renovate you and reconstruct you. And when the shallow, self-serving spectators who darken the door of churches but never bow their knees to the compassionate laws of Jesus, grab their empty lamps at the cry of the bridegroom and hear the edict rejecting those who have written their own set of rules over the uncompromising word of God. At that very instant, your light will leap out of your lamp and your spirit will spring forth with the appropriate response from the Holy Ghost to meet the threat, the stronghold, and the destruction that looms at noonday. 3 days that changed a nation. When individuals fell down, not pious kneeling, fell down. They fell in broken humility, believing God was tired of sin and apathy that we today call tolerance. They believed a word prophesying a coming destroyer. The day was over of turning their heads to blatant blasphemy and sitting unmoved, grieving the Holy Ghost, as long as they were not personally affected by adverse situations or a direct threat, they sat calm and quiet without response to God. That day had ended. Now the day of destruction had arrived. No time to build a defense. No time to form alliances with other nations. No place to run. Broken, humble, compliant, on their face before God was their only hope. And it still is today. Not tomorrow, but now. We need to fall before Him in repentance, fasting, and return to God in full compliance, completely before Him. Fasting for the Ninevites, 3 days, listen, when it's done right. 3 days superseded the politics of the country. It was greater than government aid or programs. It was greater than a national defense system. It raised up instantly moral reform. It brought revival that for 100 years stood, and the remnants are still in Baghdad. When fasting becomes an act of desperation, changes occur. Now listen to these words closely. When you praise, you come into the presence of God. This is instruction and teaching. Listen closely. When you praise, you come into the presence of God. When you worship, you move into the courts of His glory. When you approach the throne of grace expecting, you are drawn into the realms of His possibility. But when you fast, God comes to you. God comes to you. In all of these other activities, we move to God. But when we fast the right way, He comes to where we are. When the Ninevites fasted, God came and saved the unsavable. When Hezekiah fasted, God came with a prophecy and brought His battle weapons that defeated Sennacherib. When Daniel fasted, God came and unlocked and locked the jaws of deadly lions and sent Gabriel with a vision of the 70 weeks and the end of time. Daniel chapter 9, I'm preaching on it tonight. For Paul, I'm preaching on this tonight. In Acts chapter 27, when he came to him in the night storm, when the ship was ready to be torn apart, on his way to do the will of God in his life, on his way to see Caesar in Rome, The luggage had all been thrown overboard. It's time for that this morning. All of the tackle had been removed and the ship was at its lightest point. And for 14 days they'd suffered storm, but for 14 days with food on the ship, they didn't eat a bite. They fasted. And at the end of the 14 days, listen to me, what God will do to change you, to renovate you, to cause you to have an ear that hears when destruction comes and a solid piece of rock to stand on when the destruction comes. For 14 days and nights, unbelievable circumstances. But the next morning, Paul went into those 256 men on that board, and that man, that centurion, had saved him and allowed him a little freedom. And he said this to them. You listen tonight, I'll preach it. He said, fellas, don't be afraid. Take heart. Because last night, here's what fasting will do for you. Last night, God sent an angel that stood by me and he told me it's gonna be okay. That's what fasting will do personally in your life. He will send his word. God will come to you. When you fast, fasting signals God that you're laying down your life before Him, seeking Him and no other source of strength or help. 3 days that changed a nation. Rest of this month, I have given, for this entire month, I've given myself to this fast because of one reason. I don't want the old Sam Conley that was there 2009. I want a new Sam Conley for this year. I want a new set of ears. I want a new set of eyes. I want a new, not topical, but internal anointing in me, not around me. But it's come through this. Every day in this fasting, I have seen places in my life where I have to fall on my face. God, forgive me. Forgive me, God. I can't have that and have you. I can't have it, God, and gain you. I can't have it and do what want me to do. God, forgive me. And I fall again today, not as an act of emotion or drum. I fall today to tell you I want God's best for my life. I want God's best for this church. I want Him to use us to lead people to Jesus, to see people filled with the Holy Ghost and called into the ministry. I want God more than anything in my life. That's all that matters. I will never beg you again, I hope. I don't believe. But I'll open the doors of opportunity to you. When I was just a young man, I have an old sword inside. Philippians 1:6 is written, He who's begun a good work in you, have you ever read it? Will continue until the day of the coming of Jesus. The man that wrote that in that Bible that's in my office upstairs, I found on his face before God crying, weeping for 3.5 hours. Only to speak 15 minutes at a meeting. His name was Billy Graham. I sat at the bottom of the spiral staircase with my head just below the steps where I could see the bottoms of his shoes. And I heard him cry what I've just cried, what I know. God, I can't do it without you. I can't be without you. For 15 minute speech. My God, I didn't catch it then, but I've caught it now. This is what I have to do. This is what you have to do. You can settle for mediocrity, but you'll miss God. If you want God in your life, your commitment will have to be greater than you are. It'll have to be real sacrifice. It'll have to be true before God who judges and sifts. Stand to your feet with me.